All right, good morning. So last week we left off. We finished the Gospels, including that fifth Gospel. So that leaves us with the Epistles. So, what's an epistle?
A letter.
If we compare, and I'm almost done comparing and contrasting, really I am, not really. But if we take a look at the Gospels, and then we take a look at the epistles. So if the Gospels were about the deeds, the information, the evangelization, yeah. Don't use big words if you can't pronounce them. And the pattern for the church, epistles, what D can you think of for, if Gospels are about deeds, then the epistles might be about, come on, this is always my favorite game. Guess what the teacher's thinking. D. How about doctrine? Absolutely. And if Gospels are information, then the epistles are about the interpretation. And the Gospels are about evangelization. The epistles are about edification. And we see the pattern of the church in the Gospels. So what would be the P for the church?
Purpose.
Purpose and the policy for the church. Author. Who were the authors for the epistles? Was it one? Was it a bunch? And who were they?
Paul, James, Peter.
Okay. What was their title?
Apostles.
Were they all apostles?
No.
And the two that weren't? James and Jude. So the recipient. Who were the what was the
church.
So we had not only, you know, there's a couple epistles that are really directed toward an individual. Some are directed to a church. Some are directed to a group of churches. And some are just general. With that in mind, why do we read them? Why do we read them? Well, were they really, I know all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped. Yep. Do we know of instruction that says it's for us? How about we turn to 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians 5:27. Who's got it? Go ahead and read it.
I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter
read
to all the brethren.
Yep. Paul speaking, yeah, it's in the letter, but it's, you know, I charge you before the Lord to read the letter to all the brothers. And if we take a look at Colossians 4:6, just a couple pages back, 4:16, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. So even in a letter, the author of the letter was saying, pass around the letter. So we're instructed to read them, and back then they said, hey, pass them around. They were intended to be read. They were intended to be passed around. And if we take a look at 2 Peter 3:15, and I don't want you to trust me with any of this stuff, which is why I will try to be putting all the verses on here. So, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Well, Peter speaking, and he's referencing Paul's writing. Huh. So Peter had Paul's letter, and if we look in verse 2 of that same chapter, Peter says, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Through your apostles. Okay, so Paul is actually, or I'm sorry, Peter here is saying, hey, the scripture of old and the apostles' writing, they're the same. So even Peter considered other writings of the apostles scripture. So, yeah, I think we've got a really good case that, okay, they're letters to individuals and churches and people, and some are general, but we're supposed to read them all. They're letters. We'll take a look at who they're to, a little bit of the background. There's always going to be, you know, a body.
Oh. I was just going to say, real quick, going back to your point about the prophets of old and the apostles of their day, to me, that screamed the idea that the Old Testament is not rendered null and void. That it is equal in its importance to understand the Old Testament with the New Testament, and they work together.
Yep. It's all scripture, but today and for this Bible survey, I want us to think about the letters as letters, but understand that we need to read them as well. So some of the epistles are written by Paul, the Pauline epistles. And in general, Paul's epistles, there's an intro, there's a truth that's shared, and then there's an application of that truth. Now, the general epistles have a little different flair. You kind of see there's deeds and doctrine, and they're just kind of intertwined and weaved in there in those epistles. We're going to take a look at the Pauline epistles first, and then the general epistles. And again, these are just generalities. Another generality, you know, the Pauline, kind of what we have in Christ, and the general epistles, what we should for Christ. So those are kind of just generalities. Another thing here, let's take a look, and I swiped this through, walk through the New Testament. This isn't mine, I was lazy, I didn't want to make the chart again. But so we've got, and we just went through Acts. All the main point to understand is, okay, in Acts we saw missionary journey back to the Jerusalem Council, second missionary journey, third missionary journey. There's trials, there was imprisonment, right? So that was the life of Paul. We just went through all this with Bob. And I wanted you to see the order here. Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, then Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. So the Bible isn't written chronologically. It isn't organized chronologically as the letters were written. So that's a real takeaway. It was the first epistle that was written, the earliest. And then we've got the grouping of the others, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. So those are all later in time period. So, Galatians. Been looking forward to this because, you know what, hopefully for many of the rest of these books, yeah, I want to talk some, but my daddy always told me that if you read the Word, then no matter how bad your lesson is, you know, people can glean something from it, and the Word of God won't return void. So always, always, always read the Word. Galatians. Now, for the Pauline epistles, I showed that through the Bible chart, and it said that Galatians was probably the first epistle of Paul's. There is some discrepancy. Some other time we can argue about whether it was actually written in 49 AD or if it was written in 55 AD, and whether Galatia is referencing, you know, the southern group, or whether it's referencing the northern group. But Galatia is a geographical area. It also is sometimes used for also a political region. And so when was it written? I don't know. It was early. It was either before or right after Thessalonians that we'll probably get to today. So the recipient. So let's just flip open to Galatians. And lots of this stuff, simple questions, who was it to? So verse 2 answers it for us, right? It was written to the churches in Galatia. Okay, as we continue down through the book, verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. So then he goes on to explain some of that. So the issue that's going on, Galatia was early on, you know, in Paul's first missionary journey. He spent some time there, but now he hears that there's a different gospel going on. Ooh. Gotta want to correct that. And so if we travel down to verse 11, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Okay, there was a different gospel being preached, and Paul's going to establish, okay, then, you know what? What gospel am I preaching? And so Paul's going to outline this. And by the way, I'm primarily reading today from NIV, but I might bounce to the NET, and most of you guys have ESV, and yeah. I think it's good to actually read different translations, and occasionally you get a little different slant on stuff. So there's this different gospel, and Paul's trying to address, okay, you guys have heard a different gospel. Hey, here's where I got my gospel from, and you know what? Some of my credentials. Paul says in verse 18 that, we can't read the whole book in here, so I'm going to have to skip through the verses. But I hate to do that because there's so much good stuff. And hopefully I tease y'all to like go and read it or listen to it. Most of these epistles only take like 20 minutes or less to listen to. So if you're working out, walking, whatever. But so Paul's talking. He says, hey, he went and studied scripture for 3 years. Then after three years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter, stayed there. So Paul studies on his own. He goes up to the main church in Jerusalem. And then he also goes out and does this missionary journey. Chapter 2, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem. So Paul's establishing, hey, you know what? I am not just new to this gospel. I wasn't a convert from last week and I went and shared it with you. No, I studied. I went and ministered, and I went back to the church, and I went back to the church again. And then we take a look at Galatians 2:11. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. So why does Paul share that? You know what? Paul's laying out the gospel. He got it from God. He studied. He went up to the church. He went and did missionary work, came back. He's back at Jerusalem. And you know what? He even confronted one of the head guys at the church. Paul is certain in his faith, and he's certain in the gospel. And it takes a lot to go ahead and confront somebody and say, you know what, you're wrong. And that is not pleasant, but it does help establish, okay, to the Galatians, Paul ain't no schmuck. He's just not somebody that just made this up. If all that is set up, what's Paul going after in Galatians? Well, we take a look. If we skip down to 3:6, consider Abraham. He believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then let's go ahead, and Paul goes on through this chapter and says, you know, let's look at Abraham. And then let's look at the law. And in verse 14, he says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And then down to verse 24. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The book of Galatians and this particular chapter, Paul lays out, hey, you know what? Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness. We're justified by faith. It used to be this, I say it used to be this way. It was in the Old Testament, we saw justification by faith. Faith was credited, belief was credited as righteousness. Now we get to see that we are justified by faith. And Paul, through that chapter, just lays it out step by step. And what a fantastic truth. So if that's the, I'll say, core truth in the book of Galatians, okay, Galatians, what do you do with that truth? Well, so what's the application? There's a truth and there's an application. So if we take a look, the application, really we see liberty in Christ. And if we take a look, chapter 4, verse 8, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Down to 4:18. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you, my dear children, for whom I have again the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now. And I change my tone because I'm perplexed about you. So again, this is a letter, and Paul lays out justification by faith. And then he goes ahead and he lays out liberty in chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then he goes on, and we drop down to verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. So there's liberty, and we should be expressing it in love. And then in verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And then we see Christian liberty in relation to the flesh, and we see how should it be demonstrated to others, and that famous passage, but the fruit of the Spirit. How do we demonstrate our love to others? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we're justified by faith, and the application is, okay, here's some things. We have liberty in Christ, and what are you going to do in relation to that liberty that you have in Christ? There's so much good there. He goes on, talks about, you know, in relation to a sinning brother. Brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. Down at verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Paul's talking about giving. So much good stuff in there. But the fundamental thing that Paul was writing to the Galatians, were justified by faith. If we take a look right at the end, this is a letter, and more than likely, we know, at least in some of the epistles, we know for sure that the author doesn't actually pen the entire letter. Lots of times they dictate, just like someone would dictate a letter, you know, to an admin, and they would type it up for them. So we see at the end of Galatians 6:11, we pick up and it says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand." So Paul probably takes the pen here, and now he's gonna write, and this is gonna be a sign. This is his signature. Lots of folks have speculated that, okay, maybe Paul's thorn in the flesh that he prayed about in other passages was bad vision, and he didn't have any reading glasses, so he wrote big. And this closing is, and he writes big at the end as his authorship, his signature. So if we sum up what was the purpose of Galatians, and what do I want you to remember? Galatians was to refute the Judaizers and teach justification by faith in Christ alone. Justification by faith. This is one of the letters that you can turn to. Another thing, it was to establish freedom from the law and teach what to do with that liberty, with that freedom. And then finally, we also see that it was about Paul defending his apostleship. So we learn a little bit about Paul's apostleship in chapters 1 and 2. And so it kind of makes sense that, all right, this is an early letter. Paul's establishing his apostleship and giving it there, but he's also giving a magnificent truth, justification by faith. I know that was a lot. It's Bible survey. Anybody have any questions? Or statement. You can share favorite.
This is a really good book for anybody who's dealing personally or with other people
regarding legalism.
Yeah.
And even Christians who, maybe not legalistic, but are practicing more of a rote religiosity versus the freedom Paul talks about in Christ.
Absolutely.
It's a good book to go to for time from time.
Yeah. All right, 1 Thessalonians. What do we know about Thessalonians? Well, we know that Paul preached here, and he went to Philippi, and then he went to Thessalonians. Do we know how long Paul hung out in Thessalonians? Well, we take a look at Acts, and we're not going to read all of it, but if you skim through and recall in Acts 17, 1 through 14, you read about how Paul went to Thessalonica, and verse 2, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. And then the Jews got jealous and ticked off, and they stirred up trouble. They rushed to his host's house. Hey, I heard you're housing that Paul jerk. And they grab Jason and throw him in jail. And then Jason posts bond, and Paul leaves Thessalonica. So we know that he spoke, and 2 through 4 said that, you know, one of his main messages was that Christ had to suffer, and then he rose from the dead. And we know what happened. There's an uproar. They grab Jason, toss him in jail, and he posts bond. So Paul wasn't there at Thessalonica very long. So we take a look, and we're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. His typical opening, but we know he's writing to this church. He was there earlier, time period a couple years-ish earlier, and he wasn't there real long. Did he ever swing by again? Well, it isn't recorded. We don't know. So he might only have a very short time period with these people. So what's the issue that Paul's going to cover? We take a look again, verse 6. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in the area. Chapter 2. You know, brothers, that our visit to you wasn't a failure. Thinking in his mind, even though I was only there a short time, and I left, and man, the city was in an uproar. We, 2:2, we had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. Verse 5. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for your praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Down to 2 verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. In chapter 1, Paul lays out their character. In chapter 2, Paul kind of lays out his own character. Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul's going to talk about his concern for them. Chapter 3, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who's our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In verse 6, but Timothy has just now come to us. So Paul sends Timothy out because it's like, you know what? Couldn't stand it any longer. We didn't need Timothy as much as you guys needed Timothy. Wanted to send that message back. Wanted to encourage you guys. And now Timothy comes back. Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us. And he goes on with some of the things. Then in chapter 4, finally, brothers, we instructed you to live in order to please God. So the truth that Paul is sharing there, hey, there's instruction on how to live. Now, Timothy brought back word. So Paul's now going to address some of that information that he just got from Timothy. And he's going to speak to him in relation to what to do and how we should be sanctified. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Okay? And sanctified, what does it mean? To sanctify, to be set apart. So, okay, hey, Thessalonians, you know, you're to be sanctified, you're to be set apart. Well, how? And so he goes ahead and then he spells out a number of things. And he spells out, you know, in relation to sex, in relation to brotherly love, in relation to verse 11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands. Then he goes on, you know, in 4:13 through the end of the chapter, he talks about the dead. Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or who have died. We know you're going through horrible trial and some folks have died and you guys are worried and you're wondering what's going on. So here's some instruction there. And then he goes on and he talks about the day of the Lord, the return of the Lord and the future. And he goes on and he talks about various duties in 5:12 and on, talks about different things. Warns against those that are idle. Verse 12, you know, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Verse 14, warn those who are idle. Verse 22, avoid every kind of evil. And then he ends 5:25, brothers and sisters, pray for us. And yeah, it doesn't say that in the NIV, but it says that really in the Greek, either brothers and sisters or fellow brothers in Christ. Paul's ending a letter, and he actually doesn't end this letter with any particular names. Well, does he remember them? I assume he remembers a few of them, but in this letter, he just addresses them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, to the church, I'm speaking to you in Thessalonica. you know what? To you guys, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Again, summarizing the purpose for 1 Thessalonians, just to encourage them in trials, in bereavement, in life. He also wanted to warn them of the dangers of sin. And in view of Christ's coming, he wanted to warn them. And at the beginning, he also defended against various slurs that were against him. So that's 1 Thessalonians. And you know what? 2 Thessalonians, it's a short little book. It probably wasn't too long after 1 Thessalonians. And the recipient we know was Thessalonians. And what was the issue? In chapter 1, he goes through and he still gives them encouragement. And then chapter 2, we get to concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord had already come. Paul's kind of upset, and he goes on to say, look, somebody already told you, hey, Jesus returned, it ain't true, it didn't happen, it's okay. So if that's the truth, the application, and you can take a look there, 3:6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and doesn't live according to the teaching you received from us. They thought the Lord had come back. So a bunch of folks in the church said, you know what? This is it. This is the end times. I don't need to work. Because you know what? God's coming back. We're moving to a different time. Hey, quit your job and goof off. And it's like, wait a minute. No. Get back to work, Thessalonians. But he still spends chapter 1 encouraging them. He's going to yell at them, but he still spends time encouraging them because that relationship isn't so deep yet. And take a look at 3:14. If anyone doesn't obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of them. Don't associate with them. Why? In order that he may feel ashamed. Yet, don't regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Hey, you know what? Take note. But it's not like you're excommunicating him out of the church. Take note of him and warn him as a brother. And then Paul closes and says, yep, this letter is for me. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. And so if we just summarize 2 Thessalonians, Paul again wanted to encourage him, and he wanted to correct the misunderstanding and the implication. And he wanted to not condemn, but he wanted to correct the teaching. Wrong practices grow out of wrong doctrine. So Paul wanted to be certain of that. I know I went through them fast. It's survey. Go read one of those this afternoon. Check it out. These are letters Paul spends. And man, if you're ever down, you can look at the beginning of any of these letters, Paul spends time encouraging the folks, and look at what they're commended for. So, but my time is up, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your letters, personal letters to the church, to groups of believers, and instruction that applies to us today. Help us to love your word and to dig into it and to just enjoy it and take it to heart and let it change us even today. Amen.